Hello and welcome to episode 20 of Could It Be Podcast, and today we're sharing part one of Cindy's story. If you're listening on your normal platform today, I invite you to jump over to YouTube as we've recorded our very first video podcast. I finally got the technology sorted and the programs that I needed to do in order to do video podcasts. So they'll now be available on YouTube. So I'll leave the link in the normal show notes on your normal platforms. I will still release audio only episodes on things like Spotify, Apple, Podchaser, all of those kind of things. But you can also watch the episode on YouTube as well. So Cindy joins me pre-surgery, which is why it's part one of her story. And hopefully we'll be able to speak to her many times after this just to see how she progresses past her explant surgery. And by the time we're releasing this, it'll be a mere amount of days before her surgery is booked in for. So feel free to reach out to her and wish her luck from all of us. Another thing that I'd like to draw your attention to is the fact that Cindy is putting together 90-second reels. It's like an express version of people sharing their explant journey, and it's a really great idea that she's come up with. She's actually shared my story, so if you do want to jump on it all, you can go onto my Instagram and see my tagged reels, and Cindy has shared that reel of mine. But yeah, if you'd like to share yours, feel free to reach out to her on Instagram. She's really, really lovely, as you'll be able to tell when you listen to our episode together, and does a really beautiful job of sharing that reel. So yeah, feel free to get in touch with her. But that brings us to the start of this week's episode. Enjoy Cindy's story, part one. Hello and welcome to a very different episode of Could It Be Podcast. For one, we're recording our very first video podcast, so hopefully this goes well today. And secondly, we also have someone on the show who hasn't explanted yet, so we're doing a bit of a pre-explant episode, and hopefully we will have you join us, you know, a few more times after this to give us some updates on how you're going. But I'd like to introduce Cindy to the show. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you, Bianca. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and where you are joining us from today.
So I am based in the Yarra Valley, Yarra Glen. So it's beautiful out here, wineries everywhere. Anyone wants to come and visit? My husband and I own a personal training studio. So we have been running that for 12 years, and I was a personal trainer for most of that time. And then I got a calling to go off into working with the mindset and doing all that, which I'm absolutely loving. And then I became unwell, and that's when things started getting exciting.
Yeah, that's why we're here today.
Yeah, and that's why we're here today.
So what was your initial reason for getting breast implants?
The initial reason was because I was diagnosed with tuberous breasts. So I always knew I was a bit different as a teenager because, you know, you're surrounded by your girlfriends and media. In those days for me, that was magazines and TV.
Dolly and girlfriend?
Yeah, Dolly and girlfriend were always reminding me that I was a bit different. and as I said, high school and just being in the change rooms and things like that, had my girlfriends going over to their places, you know, you get undressed in front of each other, and it just was different. And so I ended up following this up at the age of 23, so very later on. And I was diagnosed with tuberous breast, and my surgeon told me that I actually had two hernias in each breast, so four in total, and that these hernias prevented the growth of breast tissue. So essentially, when he would take the hernias out, I would be left with skin. So that was mortifying at the age of 23. It was implants or no implants. So I just said implants. And the only sort of warning I got was in 10 years' time, you know, they might be degrading, so just get a checkup. And I was like, I can live with that.
For sure. So our stories are, yeah. Our stories are quite similar. So we both had tuberous breasts, and I believe that we had them done in the same year.
I think so too.
Was it 2006 for you as well?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting to hear too, because like, you don't hear people talk about it.
No, that's it. Like, you know, a lot of the people that I speak to about breast implant illness have had implants because they had small boobs or they've had children. But I, you know, you're the first person that really come across that's also had tuberous breasts. So it's also bringing that awareness to that, because I think they kind of consider it like disfigurement, you know, and we've done this surgery to correct that and to feel and look normal. Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's what I'm calling it tuberous breasts, but they actually diagnosed me with tubular breast deformity. And the word deformity really was not comfortable with me. So, I don't know. It just put an extra layer on top of my insecurities, I guess, that I already had. To know that I felt different and not like the look of them, to then be labelled a deformity. Yeah, didn't sit very well.
Absolutely. How did you hear about breast implant illness, and when is your explant surgery? Because that is coming up quite soon.
Yeah, it is coming up quite soon. Actually, breast implant illness came across my path years ago. And I'm going to be very honest here. I was one of those people that was like, oh, it's a fad, it's a thing. How could, you know, I didn't dive into it. I didn't connect with it. I literally brushed it off. But my sweeping thought was, it's not a thing. It's just a fad, I guess. And that would have been a subconscious part of me disconnecting. So I wouldn't have wanted it to be true at that point in my life, but it kept coming across my path, and more consistently and more prominently. And I was like, oh, they're really telling me to listen here. So it was before COVID where it got really intense for me, and I started just like a divine state of knowing that something was up with my breast implants and I had to get them out. But I was still not ready. I didn't want to. So I went, nope, resisting. and they're like, okay, well, if you're going to resist, we're just going to slap you across the face with a dead fish and make you really aware that this is what's happening and you need to do something about it. And yeah, so 14 months ago, more now, we're going into my 15th month. My health started declining and just rapidly became debilitated over the past 15 months. So now I have my explant surgery scheduled for February 6th, which is really, really exciting. I feel so relieved to be starting anew, new beginnings, new version of myself. Knew everything, yeah.
Absolutely. And that surgery was initially around the February the 20th, I believe it was booked for when we spoke just after Christmas. So that's amazing that it's been brought forward, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that you hear back that you'll be able to go in even sooner than that.
Yeah, so I was on February 20th and I wrote a passionate email, very kind and loving, pleading for help. And as I mentioned to you earlier, I'm very much into manifesting as well. And I did a manifesting ritual, and the very next morning they brought it forward from February 20 to February 6. So that was so incredibly exciting. And yeah, I'm hoping to get in even earlier again. So fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're behind you. We've got our fingers crossed for you. So when you went to see your surgeon, did he have much to say when it comes to breast implant illness? Like, what was his view on it?
Yeah, he wasn't against and he wasn't for. He was very neutral, and I found him very respectful in my situation. The only thing he did say, which I feel like it's warranted anyway, is, you know, have you had all these tests done to see if there's any other causes? Because he had one case that he could mention to me where it wasn't breast implant illness, it was actually anemia. So undiagnosed.
Wow.
And so that was the only case he mentioned. But other than that, he was non-offensive. Yeah, he was very neutral. He didn't even offer to put other implants in. It was just wasn't even a tabled conversation. So, yeah, no, he was fine.
Like, in my surgeon was kind of similar, where it was like she didn't necessarily buy into breast implant illness, but she didn't dismiss it either.
Yeah.
And she did ask me things about, like, what are your symptoms then? And she does ask me when I go back to her for follow-ups, like, how are you feeling? Like, how are those symptoms going?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was enough. Like, you know, she didn't dismiss me and make me feel silly for believing this was a thing. She made sure she took the capsule out when I had the surgery. That's all I really needed. And yeah, that's brilliant that, you know, he's given you that same respect. It's good to hear.
Yeah. And I think also I went in with the intention that I'm not going in there for an argument or a fight or a debate. I went in there to come out with an explant surgery date. I went in there with that intention. So no matter what he had to say, I was just going to flow. I was going to flow with the appointment. All I wanted was that appointment date to get them out. That's the only thing that's important to me. And because he put them in 16 years ago, I wanted him to take them out. He's very highly regarded in his world. So, yeah.
Yep, so you've gone back to the same surgeon as well.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what have you or will you do to prepare for your explant surgery?
Well, physically I can't do anything, I guess. I can't. I've got the chronic fatigue, like debilitating chronic fatigue. So I can't prepare physically, even going out for half a day, school drop-off, kinder pick-up and shopping will almost annihilate me. So going for a walk will put me in bed for a week. But preparing, I can't even really prepare nutritional-wise either. I have to give my body what it wants right now. I'm not in the state to do detoxes now. I'm in such an incredible, fragile state that I just need to give it what it wants. So if it wants a bowl of rice, you know what I mean? I give it a bowl of rice. So I can't do anything with nutrition or exercise, but I'm really focusing on mindset, which is obviously my jam. That's that's what I call home. So what I did realize going on this journey, which I'm incredibly blessed for, has taught me that my self-image, self-value, self-worth, all of those things was essentially for me a bit of an illusion. Either I didn't do the work deep enough for myself, the healing, or I based it on what I look like now. And with future visions, it was just who I look like now. I didn't change. And so I guess there was an undertone of illusion to it. And this experience has now made me think forward. I'm potentially going to have no breasts at all. And how does that make me feel about myself? And I had to reevaluate the self-worth, self-image, everything. And I feel so blessed for that because it's given me another layer of depth that I did essentially need to go into, and I probably wouldn't have gone there without this experience. So that's why I'm very thankful. And I got my NLP teacher to do a timeline healing on me. And then I did my own version of timeline healing on myself. And I went back to my teenage version before the implants and when I was really my biggest hater. I absolutely loathed myself in every way and to the point where I wasn't even sure why I was here, why I just felt like I was a waste of space. So it was a very dark times. And I went back to her, and especially in times when I was naked in front of the mirror and looking at myself, and I just nourished and nurtured her and gave her a healing to give me some sort of healing, and just to share my wisdom with that inner child, which is such a beautiful experience. And I've since then been able to now cast visions into the future, where you visualize your dreams and your goals, and I'm not looking at myself aesthetically. It's more energetic now, and just having this feeling of wholesomeness and feeling balanced and centered. And I think that is such a crucial part that is missing in the lead up of getting implants and in the lead up of getting explant surgery. Such a crucial part that's missing.
You can go into this like mode, and you know, some people have to wait a very, very long time from seeing their specialist to going in for having the surgery.
Yeah.
And for me, it was only a couple of months. And I went into this mode of, all right, I need to buy this. I need to prepare these meals. I need to let work know. You know, there was all the physical things that I had to do, like this list of things I had to tick off, plus continuing to work. For me, I was lucky that I was still able to do some exercise to an extent. So trying to keep that up so that I was healthier to go under anesthetic and that kind of thing. But the whole mindset and understanding how I felt back before I had them, and like how I might feel, for me was something that I only thought about physically. It wasn't necessarily that, but it was my way of getting through the mental health side of things was only really, really like, you know, quite a shallow way of thinking, I guess, but it was like, imagine how your body's going to feel. Imagine the energy you may have. Imagine all the hair that's going to grow, like all those things that will make me physically feel better. But yeah, that's the one part that is missing for me. I'm kind of waiting for it to hit me. Yeah. Like, you know, I've gone into battle mode to get through this surgery and, you know, try and improve life after having explant. But then, yeah, there's that mindset side of things that, you know, I feel like I probably need to work on too.
Yeah, I think habitually, and as just the psychology is, we are very, very good at avoidance. We do everything to avoid things that make us feel that pain and that hurt. And we spend our life running, where I teach people not to do that. I teach people to embrace it, because there's actually a beautiful lesson to be learnt from it that empowers you and breaks you free and you stop running. And that's what I love doing. And I've actually created a concept called the internal production line, and it shows you how it manifests from a perspective into a reality. And I've also come up with the concept of the me, myself and I mentality, which is it brings a lot of awareness and insights that help people move forward. But yeah, mindset is the last thing on everybody's mind. Yeah, it's because we haven't been taught. It's not in our educational system. It's we don't know what to do. We don't know where to start. We don't know how to heal ourselves and rely on ourselves and do everything for ourselves. We haven't been taught that, so it's understandable.
And life's busy, and you've got work and kids and hobbies and social media, like phones, like they just take over so much of our lives that the really important stuff gets pushed to the side. Absolutely.
Yeah And it's not easy. I think the point is that it's just really Yeah, it takes effort, and it's a conscious decision every day to invest in your mental health. Yeah, so usually people...
And so then consistency would be key for that kind of thing?
Absolutely, yeah, just like going to the gym, yeah. It's like brushing your teeth. You need to invest in your mental health every single day to strengthen it like a muscle so it eventually grows. And you need to nourish it, so like a muscle, you need the protein, you need the exercise, you need the water. It's the same with mental health. You need a combination of things including your conscious effort and decision and action to invest. Yeah.
One thing I haven't covered yet, which super important when it comes to breast implant illness as well, is what are your symptoms? Like, what are you experiencing now that you think may be linked to the breast implants?
It'll be better if I had a sheet.
How big is the list?
A running sheet. Oh, okay. Wow. So gut health, definitely. Immune system suppression. So my gut health was at a zero. My immunity became at a zero. So I was getting really, really sick all the time. I was getting every cold flu virus. So if I wasn't knocked out by BII, I was knocked out by that. It was just a horrible toxic cycle. And I've actually been able to get out of that cycle by having glutamine. Glutamine has been really crucial and healing my gut with gut powders has been so, so good for me and has kept me out of bed a lot. You know, I've got melasma. Actually, I've got facial melasma you can't see, but that happened 2 years after the implants. I don't know if that's related, so I'm really excited to see what happens after. I actually started getting the, like, horse hair, silver, not grey, silver, thick shreds of horse hair type quality hair is what I'm trying to say. That started at the same time I got sick last year. And I remember it popping up, felt like it popped up overnight. And I remember thinking it doesn't belong there. This isn't part of the age progression. This is something else. So I actually checked my copper levels and things like that to see if it was causing it, because at that time I didn't know my breast had ruptured. So I'm interested to see what happens there. Chronic debilitating fatigue, suppressed appetite where I went down to 49 kilos, just wasn't eating.
Wow.
And since doing all this stuff, the gut powder, the glutamine, the aloe vera drink, it's put up on my Instagram page what I've been doing, that's restored my appetite fully. So I am back to where I was and some probably, which has given me more energy, obviously. I don't know. There's so many, Bianca. My toenails, they're like falling off. I get lumps.
I've heard that. I've heard.
Yeah. My toenails, they're just peeling off. Lumps and bumps all over my chest. I actually get reoccurring sores just on the inside of my breast that really hurt. It actually feels like a nerve shock going, if I was to touch it, feel like a nerve shock going through my breasts, breast pain, shallow breathing. Some days I can't breathe. I can only breathe to here and it just keeps bouncing like this. It just feels horrible. Rib pain, inflammation throughout my whole body. My back is chronically bad. I have to roll out of bed. I have to sit there for 10 minutes. I have to get up in this weird position on my feet. I have to stand there until my back's ready. And I'm walking so incredibly slow and stiff until I warm up. The glutamine helps with that as well. But, yeah, the list is truly, we could be here for an hour. So
it's, yeah.
You know what it's like.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed it's you know, stuff that like leaves your body the moment you wake up from surgery, because it sounds so debilitating. And when we've spoken before, I remember you saying like you were working as a personal trainer before, obviously fit and healthy otherwise, and you had to stop working in that industry because of how you were feeling.
Yeah, I've quit. I've had to quit.
Yeah, and there'd be so many people going through that.
Yeah. Even my mindset coaching, which I do online, I can't do that right now because I'm just not sharp. I'm not onto it, and the days that the BII kicks in really badly, I'm out, and I just don't want to. I don't like letting people down that need me. And so I just have to put that on the back burner until I'm better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, like, when we caught up before or after Christmas, you were like really open with me, saying like, "Oh, I'd love to chat to you tomorrow, but it might not be a good day, so I'll let you know."
Yeah.
And yeah, I can understand you not wanting to let people down in your business because of that. So there's so many women that I speak to that are so considerate of other people, that like regardless of what we're going through.
Yeah,
like it's just, you blow my mind. Was there anything else you wanted to share, either about your experience with breast implant illness, about your upcoming surgery, any other preparation, like anything else you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I would like to mention that I'm part of the first Australian study of breast implant illness conducted by Dr. Deva in New South Wales. Yeah, yes. So I've part of that study, which is really, really great, because when I discovered this is what I've got and I was advocating for myself, I literally felt like little old Cindy against Goliath, and I was ready to hand in a letter to the Plastic Surgeons Association just to really push to get a disclaimer on the websites saying this is BII and this is what it means and this is where it comes from and where it goes, just to have that acknowledgement and just to pay respect to it. And then I ended up creating my little Instagram page, and I discovered there's a whole community out there. And in that, I found
out. And that's how we met.
Yeah, that's how we met. And then I found out about the study. Half an hour later, I was a part of it. So that just entails following my journey, submitting some bloods, and diarising with Leeds Beckett University from the UK. So they're in on it as well. So it's actually quite a big study. And yeah, there's 320 of us at the moment. Dr. Deva has would like over 1,000 women in there. So anyone that listens to this and has breast implant illness currently, please go and look up Dr. Deva, New South Wales.
You can put that in the show notes.
Yes, in the show notes. Oh, that's fancy.
After seeing your post about Professor Deva, I've actually jumped onto the study as well. And one thing that I'll add to that is I wasn't sure whether I'd be able to join the study because I've already had my explant, and I submitted the online form, which was super easy to do. I heard back from his assistant, Robin, who's really lovely.
Yeah.
And because I had actually sent a separate email asking, like, is it still okay if I join? Like, I've already had my explant, but I've been documenting everything.
Oh.
She's like, yes, we'd love to have you. So I noticed that you've shared that on your Instagram. Yeah. So thank you for sharing it, because it made me aware. Like, I've been around in the Instagram community for a while, but I hadn't come across that yet. Very thankful that you shared that, because now I'm on that study. I'll share it. You know, hopefully we can get the word out there. And I should probably add, I think the studies Professor Deva's particular study is for Australian patients.
Yes.
I think that's right. Right.
Yeah. Well, now it's 321. Yeah, so welcome, girlfriend.
Yeah. And hopefully we can get some more. So, yeah, super important work.
Yeah, well, that's essentially the end result of that, is to get it recognised as a official medical diagnosis. So what will happen then is it will be on websites, and not only that, you go to the GP, here's my symptoms. They ask, do you have breast implants? And a conversation has started. So that's the hope in this study. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we know it will take, it'll take time, but, all you can really do is jump on the study, share your information, and, give them as much honest info as possible. Symptoms when they're sort of resolving and,
Yeah, well, Dr. Deva's voice is louder than mine, and he's already made, I don't know what they are, but he's already made changes in the medical industry and the way they do things from other studies. So, yeah, I think we've got a good leader. Yeah.
So that does lead me to, I guess, my final question, like, you know, the fact that I've come across yourself on Instagram, and, you know, all of the information you share, you actually share some really super, important information, and it is specific to it is breast implant illness, but you do share information on surgeons within Australia. But where can we follow you, both with your breast implant illness page and your mindset coaching page?
So the breast implant illness, and thank you for that too, because it's about educating for me. It's not necessarily just about me and my story. I'm all about education and cultivating a certain message. So at the moment I'm on Breast Implant Illness Australia, and it'll say Cindy Carrick Ryan underneath that. And my mindset coaching is me, my health, and I. And my name's underneath that as well. So, yeah, I have two pages going. And just spreading wisdom and awareness. Because you just never know who it's going to help. So
it's important work.
Yeah.
That's it. And, mine was coming across a random woman on Facebook who had shared an article, I think it was with Mamma Mia, about why she had her implants taken out, that started that thinking process for me. So you just never know. I've actually reached out to her just before New Year's just to say thank you for sharing that, because you've changed my life. So yeah, you never know who you're going to reach just by sharing some information. So it's
100%. And the thing with that is that you never usually know either. Sometimes people don't tell you, hey, you changed my life, or you led me here, or so you just got to trust that you are helping.
Cool. Well, if there was nothing else you wanted to sort of share with us, that sort of wraps up the questions that we had for you today.
Yeah, thanks, Bianca. You're mm-hmm. a beautiful person. Beautiful. Thank you for inviting me onto this. And I hope this will help somebody out there.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to share your story, and good luck. Hopefully it is sooner than February the 6th, but good luck with your explant surgery on February the 6th.
Yeah, I can't wait for our next podcast of that. Yeah, that's going to be really fun. That'll be good. Maybe just come in the hospital.
I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Come bedside with me. Cindy, how are you feeling today? Bianca, I've just come out of surgery. Yeah, but tell me, how do you feel?
My plan was to I was hoping to do voice notes on my phone, when I've come out of surgery before. I've just been not with it at all, and I was just this would be funny to add to the podcast. Yeah. Me out of my mind. I was too I was so awake and bright, so yeah, maybe take some voice notes and see anything interesting that we can share.
Sounds like
cool.
Well, thank you.
Beautiful.
We'll chat to you next time.
No worries, thank you.
This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldit_be_podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.